Hard act to follow. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. About 3 or 4 months ago, Mother Lee asked if I would give the sermon today. It's the end of my first year of being a deacon at Grace Church, being a deacon anywhere, actually, if I get down to that. So it's my lifelong 1 year. I didn't know at the time when she asked me to do that the gospel message would be, or not just gospel message, but the scripture would be about hanging, about cutting off hands, chopping off a foot, plucking an eye out, or any of those wonderful things. But here I am, I'll be tried by fire, I hope, at the end of that. Being up here is a very humbling experience for me. Lee gives such wonderful sermons, and we've had such a good history of preachers in this pulpit that do give wonderful sermons, that to get up here and say anything is to be perhaps judged against them. But that really is sort of daunting, or at least it was daunting. Secondly, being a deacon is daunting, and it's very much humbling. It's an humbling experience for me. Every time I put these robes on, put my stole on, put my cross on, and gird myself for a liturgy in whatever way, it always makes me feel the responsibility of the office of the Sacred Order of Deacons. And one thing that gives me hope, though, is that being ordained a deacon is not because you're worthy of it. It's because God has chosen you to grow into something. So this is a period of growth for me as well. Obviously, my topic today is about the Sacred Order of Deacons. Okay, in the early church, Jesus chose 12 people. He chose 12 apostles to go along with him, to learn from him, and to become the leaders. After the resurrection, those very people came together and they started the first church after Jesus had died and had arisen. One of the first things that happens in the early church, of course, is that everything is wonderful. You have Pentecost, you have all those good things happening, and it's just exciting. Where the deacons come in, though, is later on in the book of Acts. And I'll read to you from that. Now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait tables." This tells us several important things about the early church. There must have been some controversy and some people feeling like they were left out or not being treated equally. We had the Hellenists against the Jews. And so they did bring this to the 12 and complained about it. And the 12 said that our primary responsibility is preaching the word and prayer. Scripture continues. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and serving the word. What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. There were 7 of them. 7 is the perfect number. It means symbolically as fullness, or coming to something that is where it's supposed to be. And I don't think that they used the word 7 here without having some secondary meaning to that. Another thing that we learn from this is that the waiting of tables was given as a special task to these seven people, seven of them. The word for waiting in Greek is diakonos, which means deacon or servant. And that tells us about what deacon is supposed to be, a servant community. Our Book of Common Prayer says we have four different kinds of ministers in our church. And if you read through your catechism lately, I do that periodically, remind myself how to answer some questions that I'm asked because I forget to. We have laypersons. All of us start out as laypersons, and all of us are ministers as laypersons. We have bishops. We have priests. We have deacons. Three of those are ordained. They're clergy. Bishops ordain all new priests and all new bishops, all new deacons. They receive people into the church. They have several symbols of their office. One of those is the mitre, that really funny, cool-looking pointed hat that they wear. That's supposed to represent the flame of God, or Pentecost. So at least that's what Bishop Parsley told us at one time. So if he said it, there must be some basis of truth somewhere back in history that that actually happened. Priests are ordained first as deacons. Priests go to seminary. They spend 3 years in accredited seminary, and then they come back. And they're ordained as a deacon. They serve for 6 or more months. They're called transitional deacons during that period because it's assumed that they will be ordained as a priest as part of their ministry later on. The vestments of a priest, very similar to what I'm wearing here, the white cassock or alb. They wear a stole as well, the seasonal color. That's why we both are wearing green today. We're still in the ordinary season, and that is the color of green. Priests wear their stole with the ends hanging down in the middle of it at the back of the neck. They're usually smaller in width than the deacon's stole, and they usually hang straight down, but traditionally they may be crossed in the front. Deacons wear a different kind of stole. Deacons, as far as their training is concerned, we have 4 years of education for ministry that's offered right here at our parish and right here in Anniston, Alabama. It is a program that's put together by the University of the South, and we receive quite a bit of education. It is not a seminary education, and I don't confuse it to be that either. That's what priests do. We also have 2 years of what's called deacon formation class, or as we call it, deacon class, where we go and we're taught by many people. One of the things that I was expecting up front is that when I first went to my classes is that they'd be teaching us how to go through the liturgy and do all these wonderful things that people do in church that adds to the richness of our service. But out of the 2 years of deacon formation class, we had about 15 minutes on how we might proclaim the gospel, and about another 20 minutes on how to set the table. All of those things I have learned here at Grace from Lee, our priest. As I said this morning earlier, that if I do it right, it's because I was trained very well. If I do it wrong, it's because I didn't learn it like I should have. But here I am, trying to be political up here in the pulpit, so. A few things you need to know about deacons. What we do know historically comes from the scriptures. I just read one of those. There are several others. It says in the scripture that I read to you that they were supposed to select men. But if you read the rest of the scriptures apart in Acts, then you'll learn that there were many women that were deacons. So there were women serving as deacons in the very early church. I did go back and look at the Greek, and it did say men. It was not anthropos, which means men, humans. So it did say men. I won't be careful about that, though. Deacons are not paid. We're non-stipendiary. Most other deacons in our diocese have a job somewhere else where they go and work and earn money and raise their families and send their kids off to school and do all those things. I'm fortunate to be retired, so I don't have the other job, so I can spend more of my time here and doing other things. For most of the history of our diocese, there were no deacons. We were fortunate here at Grace that we had Reverend Deacon Newt Jackson, who served here. He was ordained in the state of Florida. He was not ordained in the Diocese of Alabama. So I learned by coming to Grace how a deacon performs it, I shouldn't say performs, serves within the liturgy. He brought with him such grace and humanity and was a beautiful man if you ever spoke to him. Just a wonderful human being. One of the things that I cherish are the high holy days when he would send us out into the world with his big booming voice saying, "Alleluia, Alleluia." Always with such excitement. And that is what he was supposed to be doing as a deacon, and I learned that excitement from him. Deacons do not serve a parish directly. Usually they serve the bishop. The bishop is my boss. I am assigned here with a priest. So whatever the priest does and asks me to do, that's what I do. That's because I look at the priest as being my boss while we're here, my director, my spiritual director as well. So I do other things other than just work here inside Grace Church. What you see me doing most of the time is serving in the liturgy of the church. What I do outside is doing my best to help people be fed. In the last year and a half, I have served as the diocesan response team coordinator. I have been working with volunteer groups from across the United States who wish to come here to the state of Alabama and help us to rebuild after all those tornadoes we had in 2010. I'm also the diocesan disaster coordinator, so I work with all the other coordinators in the Province 4 and work with them as well on disaster relief. I also serve as chaplain to the bishop. There are many parishes that do not have deacons, and what our bishops want us to do is they want us to accompany them to parishes that do not have a deacon so that people may observe how deacons perform in the liturgy. Deacon formation class. Very first day of class, Deacon Roland Ficken, university professor I had a lot in common with Dr. Ficken. A lot in common. The very first thing he told our class were the ABCs of being a deacon. Deacons do not, the A part, absolve. We don't do the absolutions in liturgy. The B part, deacons do not do the corporate blessing or the blessing within the liturgy. The other thing that deacons do not do is they do not consecrate the elements. We do not do the ABCs. So other than that, most of the things that deacons do are the very things I was doing before I became a deacon. Some of the things that we can do. Deacons are supposed to proclaim the gospel. It is in the Book of Common Prayer, and that harks back to ancient traditions where the servant within the household would announce what's going on. And the deacons are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. They are telling the story. That was the biggest surprise to me. We never had any training on how we are supposed to perform our role in the liturgy. And I was surprised at how wonderful it is and how humbling it is for me to be able to read the gospel story, to tell you the gospel story every time we have a liturgy. It is an amazing experience. Lastly, deacons dismiss people from the worship service. That goes back to us being the emissaries of the bishop here. On behalf of the bishop, we are sending you out into the world to continue God's work in the world. One of the things that we do not do as well is deacons do not perform marriage ceremonies, which is perfectly all right with me. And I'll tell you that legally in the state of Alabama, law does allow for deacons to officiate the services, but the canon of the Episcopal Church does not So deacons do not, in the Episcopal Church, do not officiate those services. In conclusion, the model for the diaconate and the way that we are to live our lives comes from the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it comes from the acted out parable of the washing of the feet. Jesus comes in, his apostles, his disciples, do not want him to wash their feet. That's the lowliest job. But he washes their feet, and he tells Peter, when Peter would not let him do it, if you do not allow this, then you have no part of me. And the conclusion of this is that, of the story, is that whomever you serve here on earth in the lowliest positions, you are serving also Jesus himself. He turns the world upside down in his acted out parable. Amen.